Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, January 30th. We have almost made it through January of 2025. Unbelievable. Thank you for joining me as we contend to be in God's Word each day and to learn more about the storyline of Scripture and also to take a deep dive into Matthew's Gospel. We're in Exodus chapter 32 today, a little snippet, verses 1 through 14, about the golden calf. Moses is up on the mountain with God, and he is lingering what feels like forever, and the people of Israel are mad, and they start conjecturing about who Moses is and what he's doing, and they want to make an idol. But before we get too haughty, we must think about these questions as we read the passage. Why is idolatry such an easy thing for us to slip into? And why are we so quick to worship things other than God? Those are questions from Jen Wilkins' Bible study, God of Freedom. The Golden Calf, Exodus 32, 1 through 14. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered themselves together to Aaron and said to him, "Up, make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." So Aaron said to them, "Take off the rings of gold that are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off the rings of gold that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made a golden calf. And they said, "These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to the Lord." And they rose up early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt.'" And the Lord said to Moses, "I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you." But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, "O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'With evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth'? Turn from your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, 'I will multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have promised I will give to your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.'" And the Lord relented from the disaster that he had spoken of bringing on the people. Before we move on, I just kind of want to tell the rest of the story, because we're not going to read the rest of the story, well, some of the rest of the story. So Moses is interceding on behalf of the people, and he continues to intercede on their behalf in chapter 33. This is a little snippet of his intercession. Moses says in verse 15, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And so then the Lord says, "Okay, I will have mercy and I will go with you." And then Moses asks to see God's glory. But God says, "You can't see my face because man shall not see me and live." But God does pass before him and he proclaims his character, which is like looking at the face of God. In these characteristics, we see who God is. And this is what he says in Exodus 34, verse 6. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. This is who God is. He's forgiving those who repent, but if those continue not to repent, then there are consequences for us. Do you identify with the statement, stiff-necked people? I feel like I am so often a stiff-necked person, and we slip into idolatry so quickly. So today we just want to lift our hearts to the Lord and ask him to help us make his presence the most important thing in our lives, that we say, "Lord, unless you go with us, we do not want to go forward." Our second reading today is Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 21, and we'll go down to verse 29. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then will I declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. And now our third reading from Proverbs chapter 30, verses 7 through 9. "Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God." Thank you for listening along as we read God's word together in Exodus 32. The people are called as stiff-necked people. That word came up yesterday in the Proverbs as well. I can identify. I'm often a stiff-necked person. But we see Moses as sort of a Christ figure interceding on behalf of the people of Israel, just as Jesus, our Lord, perfectly intercedes on our behalf. He is contending on our behalf, even now at the right hand of God the Father. This is a challenging passage for us as we think about interceding for those around us and in our world. And in my prayer journal that is by Val Marie Press, it's a yearly prayer journal, it gives me prompts to pray for different peoples in my life. And so I want to lead us through a contemplative prayer for different people in our world and in our community. And then Chris Farley is going to encourage us with singing The Solid Rock. This is a song that reminds us that we build our lives on Christ, who is the solid rock. Holy Father, as we enter into prayer, we praise you. For you are slow to anger and gracious and merciful, abounding in steadfast love. Lord, we, like the Israelites, are stiff-necked, and we ask your forgiveness. We ask that you would help us not to be quick to make idols. Rather, Lord, help us to trust in your love and your timing. Let us contend aside Moses now, and as our Lord Jesus so beautifully models for us, for those who are on our prayer list. We lift to you our world and our nation. We ask for your help in our community and our neighborhood. Bless those in our church who are on our prayer list. We lift those whom we love to you. Remember our family, Lord, and bless them. We ask for your saving grace in the lives of those that we love that do not know you. We lift a heavy circumstance to you and ask you to carry it. We pray for ourselves. We lift our big goals to you today. And we remember before you the many ways you have answered us in prayer, through your character as a loving and merciful and steadfast God. Thank you, Lord, for continuing to help us to build our lives on you, the rock. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.